is To Your Health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. To Your Health keeps you informed on all the health issues facing our country. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Roger Galloway, and of course, we have here with us right now Dr. Chad Kingsley, who is, of course, the director of the Mojave County Health Department. We were talking before we got ready for the show about what might be something really good to talk about for this first show of 2024, and I think that just the overall general definition of public health, county public health, and why it even exists, and what's good about it and why we should have it. Those factors come in, and some people have asked that. Getting into the very general part of it, first of all, how would you address that?
I would take a orbital view, a 30,000-foot view of public health. Why does it exist? Why is it part of our communities, our nations, and why is it growing from historically? So constitutionally, there's not a direct reference to public health. You know, departments have been created. It was left to the states. And so most states have enshrined public health within their constitutions. And from there, basically, and what Arizona defines and majority of all states is to protect and preserve the health of their communities. And so it's always based on that, to protect and preserve the health, which goes into economy. It goes into, a lot of people don't think economics, but really it is the economics of the vitality and the ability of a workforce, families feel secure, to feel healthy. Mm-hmm. You don't think that public health has a big influence perhaps on economics, but it does. And so how many sick days do people have a year when they're working? How many families? And then also if somebody is working but their children are sick, do they have to stay home and watch? You know, so if we are healthier, then we're more productive. And overall life too as well. So we're protecting and preserving the life of our communities, of our families, and of our workforce, and what we're able to accomplish as residents of the state of Arizona. So it basically boils down from that. Public health has always been around in different points. Historically, I think it would be more religiously based. A lot of the Catholic Church and were many points. They were the doctors. They were those people that went to helped with when there was pandemics, or the people referred to Black Death or in Europe. And so there was always ways that the community members handled, you know, and things they learned from observation. Mm-hmm. Physical distancing basically comes from that. During the Black Death, there was little windows and doors and stuff. People they'd open up and only talk through and stuff, and they just learned that if they didn't have contact, that the disease spread less. There's different points, and there's, you know, there are a lot of disbeliefs about it and such things, but public health as a science, so you can begin to trace it in the United States around the breakout of the 1900s, around those times. Salmonella Sally, I believe, you know, so she was an individual. She just cooked food. That was her livelihood, but she didn't have any hygiene. When anybody ate there, they got sick. This was in New York, and so the only way they eventually controlled it was putting her in prison, because that's the only way she could support herself, was that food. But she just didn't wash her hands, and people would get sick, and she spread salmonella everywhere. You know, so it started from there. So how do we, you know, how does a government and a people sit there and help to control something like that? So we have less foodborne illnesses or any communicable diseases. How do we do that? And so that's what's basically evolved from public health. But for Arizona, it was in trying to protect and preserve that. And then the voice of the people is those laws that they've enacted to help support public health.
It goes way back, really, doesn't it? Looking, getting, we'll go back to a lot of this in just a moment, but with what you were saying just now and talking about, and looking at Mojave County in the state of Arizona, how healthy a county are we compared to the other 14 counties?
Off the top of my head, I don't know that comparison. There's a lot of great resources on the Arizona Department of Health Services. Usually they have those rankings. I can show deaths to life to disease, how much disease, a disease index. And so who has a higher or lower disease index? And I would actually have to pull up that information. I would say we're comparable on a lot of points. I do believe we had higher COVID deaths compared to other counties on some points.
It's a little tougher for rural counties than
it is.
The other counties, like Maricopa and Pima.
Yep. Each one is a little bit a health profile, and so to put a little plug in, so every about every 4 years, sometimes it's 5, 3 years, we perform a community health assessment. And so that basically, we go out, and it's partly designed for our county to say, really, we do surveys, and they're available right now. If anybody wants, they can get onto our webpage and find that link and be able to be provided a survey. But it really says what's important to those community members, what's really affecting them. You know, we have about 40 or 50 right now. We're seeing mental health and substance abuse that people are referencing for healthcare here in healthcare, but also our overall public health. What's contributing to the illnesses and issues within our county. We were hit hard by opioids and substance abuse, like many of the other counties, but we did have strong issues here. We continue to do, looking to address those. But overall, you know, one thing that always stands out, mortality-wise, similar to St. Most, but we do have our number one cancer is lung cancer compared to other counties. Multiple factors could contribute to that, but usually it's issues that cause mortality, you know, heart, cardiac arrest, heart attacks.
In combating those things. Do we have enough resources that without the use of state or federal grants or help, it would be almost impossible to accomplish much just on our own?
Yeah. The majority of our funding comes from the state. We do receive about $400,000 from the general fund, which goes to salaries and then some required points. There's ARS mandated points like tuberculosis. We have to provide surveillance and treatment and detection of tuberculosis. And that's enshrined in the Constitution because that's when the Arizona became a state. That was a big problem was tuberculosis and consumption back then. And so you see certain communicable diseases that are part of ARS. Part of communicable disease too is part of ARS. You know, we have to detect and treat communicable diseases and track them from different points, and then overall support public health with the end goal to protect and preserve the health of our communities. And so ours would be a little bit unique, and that's what the community health assessment comes into, is what's specific to Mojave County and what do the residents need here.
Looking at this particular health department, Mojave County Health Department, it's one of the biggest departments that we have as far as employees are concerned.
Yeah.
It's kind of subdivided as well. Can you explain that and how it works in general?
Yeah, so there's usually different components, and you'll be similar, different organizational charts, but environmental health is always a big one, again, which is part of our revised statutes, our laws. Environmental health focuses a lot on our restaurants, our food code. Mm. How do we keep any type of foodborne illnesses from spreading? To make sure that our restaurants are clean, that we're eating in places that will not transmit or cause illnesses from that, and how to handle food. And each environmental health department is a little bit different. In the past, we did sewage and wastewater. But due to our structure and where did it fit best, that has been transferred over to development services. We still inspect some. We have water haulers, sewage haulers, just inspections to make sure that they're to code.
How do you carry those out? Do you literally go?
We have inspectors.
Physically?
Yeah. And then vectors. So a vector is any type of insect or rodent or anything that would transmit a disease. While there's dust sometimes it comes up in the Board of Supervisors. People come in, they complain about somebody's property, they have too much junk on it, or this or that. But sometimes we were the first ones to receive the complaints, is there's too many flies or there's a lot of rats. And so then we have to go out and inspect it, and we have to visually see it. We can't take anonymous complaints. The person has to submit the complaint, where it's at. Then we go and we inspect, and we have to observe it. And so if we observe that, and then we follow the correct procedures after that, that's part of it. So vectors. Mosquitoes are a vector too, right? We're trying to always control the mosquitoes along our recreational areas.
On that area, what you just now mentioned about the mosquitoes, we have these reports that come out now and then, especially over in Mojave Valley. There's an area over there that is a constant thorn regarding mosquitoes and the proliferation of those insects. Is that like something that's always going to be ongoing. It's never going to be eradicated.
Mosquitoes aren't going away, you know.
But that particular area.
Yeah, that particular area is this there. It's because there's agriculture, and then there's also marshlands. You know, there's the delta there down by Golden Shores. And it's just a natural habitat. And it's just not people and mosquitoes. They also feast on birds and migrating animals. So they feast on anything that has blood, so in order to lay their eggs. And so they and mosquitoes are just going to be around. And so, but we have shown a steady decrease due to our interventions. We put larvicide out, and that's prevention. So we prevent those mosquitoes, and then we take those mosquitoes and we detect them. We test them for diseases. And that's where we look for West Nile virus, malaria, Zika virus, and so these things. So we do that. So, but we have, because of our efforts over the last 4 to 5 years, we've been able to reduce it. And then when we do have rains, we do fogging and other procedures. But we found larvicide, getting them before it happens, before they get to adult, helps.
So the defogging, that does help considerably, right?
Yeah, it's lowered down. It's also where our trapping is at. We also go and detect and put our traps out. So that takes an individual. They have to go out. They have to be out in the field. They have to set the trap. They have to get there in the morning, pick up the trap again, and then they have to come back and count mosquitoes. Yeah. So that's part of it. So it's environmental health, and that's just one of our divisions. And then we have two others. We have community health, which focuses on really promotion. So that is where we have classes on gardening, on healthy eating, our senior programs, tobacco cessation, opioid overdose prevention, and that varies. And the majority of that is supported by grants. We apply for a grant, and sometimes they're 3 to 5 years. And so public health sometimes tends to be fluidic. You know, it's we also pay a little bit of catch-up sometimes. An issue will arise, such as opioids. Mm-hmm. There's no money for it for us to go into prevention before it happens. And then it happens, and then a few years later, and then money becomes available. We apply for those grants, and then we start to address those issues within the county. But that's community health.
The county did get involved in that lawsuit that various counties across the country. Uh-huh. Some money came out of that for us.
Yeah. And to point out, you know, this is what our elected officials are. They're meant to advocate for us. And our elected officials here, they advocated for us. And of the 15 counties here in Arizona, we're the third highest awarded. Technically, for all the rural counties, we're the first highest. Because if you take out Maricopa and Pima, their numbers are so much higher and because of their populations. But you remove them, we're next in line. We got the highest award. Because of that, that was a lot because of our elected officials, that they saw the issues going on here and they went to bat over it. And really, they're the ones really started this whole nationwide point. You know, they were like, well, what do we do? Let's start a lawsuit. And that lawsuit just from the county went to a state, then it went to a national level. And because of that, you know, we'll be able to make those interventions. And so we're in the beginning process, kind of building the plane as it goes. We did our first award, and that was really just a learning process.
How much money are we talking about, roughly?
On average, a little over $1 million a year.
That's pretty incredible, isn't
it? Yeah.
It has to be handled a certain way.
Yeah.
Can you describe that?
Well, our efforts is to be transparent on all of it, and especially how we award the money. You know, it's kind of, it's not a lot of times that we're giving out money, but that's part of the process. So we're doing through our procurement. You know, people apply for it, specific what they need to do, and then they apply for it, and then they're graded, and then they're awarded. And so we follow that process. We aligned it with the fiscal year of our fiscal year, you know, when the award and the be for a year. Part of that settlement is they have to specifically do things to diminish opioid use or prevent or preserve those things. And so there's a whole list of things that organizations can do. And we're really just the administrators of that money. And so from the get-go, as anytime we are prepared for an audit to be able to show where that money's at, where it's going to, and then people that we award it to, same thing, we work with them. And then we have to report to the state once a year, and they'll do a report as well. But same thing, we want to be able to show that, you know, that money is going directly to community-based organizations that are the boots on the ground, that are sitting there working. And there's many of them out there, from Revive to Houses, Hildy's House, to Catholic Charities, to Cherish Families in Colorado City. All of them are working towards us to help meet. And it's just not one thing. It's behavioral health and the issues that go with substance abuse. And really, that destroys economies, too. Somebody that begins to use, I mean, falls into opioid abuse or any type of substance abuse, sometimes can be a very downhill trend. They're not working. They, you know, they lose their jobs and they're not able to function with their families, and it breaks families. There's tragedies all over. And if we can prevent that from the beginning, that's, you know, that's our goal.
Do you look at the three, let's take our three local cities, local meaning relatively close to each other, with Bullhead City and Lake Havasu City and Kingman. They're not exactly the same population or thing. They're not treated the same way either, right? Do you make that decision on which money goes to which city?
No, so that was determined in the settlement. So each city also gets some of the money. So not only does the county get the money, and then the money that's awarded to the county, we get about 62-63% of it.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of that is portioned up to their cities based on their population. Yeah, so that's why, you know, that's why census every 10 years is important. You know, because a lot of times how money is awarded is based on the population of a city. And so then some things are awarded on the county level, and that's the population of our county. So we have our rural areas, you know, our unincorporated areas that we also go out to help manage and treat. But each of those cities also receive, you know, and it's going to take a few years. Some of the other counties, the cities have started to return the money to the county, so they're doing a collaborative, you know, kind of pulling their money together.
Uh-huh.
But because we received more money, I believe each cities are also, you know, it's also, you're also going to see that each year that we receive, the money is not exact. Sometimes it might be a little bit more, a little bit less, so it's a little bit hard to calculate. So it's good to save up for so many years, so then we can be more, so that we can do more consistent awards. Again, it's just, we're only into like starting the third year, so this is, we have 18 to 20 years of this. So it's really, but we, as compared to the other counties, we are the first rural county to really get money out into the community. Besides Maricopa and Pima, they were able to award some money, but the other counties are still, but we also received more money, so it's a little bit easier for us to be able to get that money out. But as we're ahead of the game.
The money on this opioid settlement that took place, which was, again, pretty significant amount of funds coming out of that, is that strictly for opioids, or does that also include other drugs or cigarette smoking or other things like that that cause problems in the community?
Opioids is kind of, we put opioids, but right now fentanyl is the biggest problem, which is a type of opioid. And so, yes, it does. It's very broad. And if you're treating opioids, you're treating most of the other substance abuse. So the most people that, you know, so it's either called SUD or OUD, substance use disorder or opioid use disorder. You know,
okay.
So those are the two that's always kind of what we call. Any of those ones, they kind of go together. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of times alcohol, tobacco, opioids, they all do kind of mix together. So when you're treating one, sometimes it helps treat the others.
All right, going back to the county health department and the kind of divisions that you have, do we have another one?
Yeah. So then usually, so this is the three, you know, and it depends on as you grow, there's other divisions, but our other one is our nursing services, which we call public health services. But our nursing services is a little more of our clinical side. So that is going to have any of the immunizations for giving shots, TB testing, and then also surveillance and also treatment. They help coordinate that. Any of the sexually transmitted diseases. So we do have a sexual health clinic that somebody can come and get tested and treated. And then also family planning services and HIV. So HIV testing, and then depending on the results, you know, if somebody does come up positive, to be able to direct them to resources within the community. Basically surveillance and prevention and preservation of health. So it's a lot more of our clinical services. And then when we have to respond to emergencies, you know, our nursings are part of that, as well as our well checks. So like on our mobile unit that is going around that we now you know, the mobile unit. You know, what we found is a lot of the screenings. They go out and they do their screenings, and from high blood pressure. And surprisingly, there's a lot of people with a lot of high blood pressure. And so just the screening sometimes that somebody doesn't go for preventative medicine. You know, they just, I feel okay, or I've always dealt with this, and they've been dealing with high blood pressure for 5 years, and that will lead to a heart attack. You know, but you know, they're not getting checked up like they should. So we're seeing that as an advantage and stuff of being able to go out and really do these screenings within our community to help people recognize you need to get this addressed with your medical professional. But we hope to be that for that impulse to recognize. And then the other aspect of our public health is operational services, so administration. So we have to have somebody to be able to do budgets. We have to have somebody to be able to keep everything running, to keep the lights on, you know, that we work. So we operate very lean. I think many other county departments too, you know, a budget is issues right now. Majority of our, we're about over 70% is funded by grants. So we don't hit the general fund as hard. We do, you know, so it's always an issue that we look at. One other thing that we do that no other county does is senior services. So we do manage three of our, we used to have four, but we do manage three. So it's Lake Havasu, Topak, and Topak Golden Shores, and Kingman. Mm-hmm. We do help, we do own the buildings and help manage the senior services through Arizona Western Governance.
And, they why not Bullhead?
Bullhead, it happened in 2014, 2012. So following, you know, the 2008, 2009 recession and the economic impact of the housing crisis. So following that, the city at noticed a trend, and they felt that on certain points, perhaps they could meet the services better. Mm-hmm. So they worked with the county at that time, and they were able to, they incorporated the city, took it over. So usually most senior centers are either run by a city or a nonprofit organization. It's odd for a county to run it,
yeah.
But again, we're unique, like you said, and mm-hmm. even our three cities, our four incorporated cities, you can't say you're from Kingman, you live in Kingman, and say you're from Bullhead, you know, or something. It's just wherever you live at, you're there. It has a unique identity from Colorado City to Lake Havasu. We're each a little bit different. While a lot of other counties completely don't have that, they're kind of homogenous, you know, they kind of reflect the same. We've just got three unique, four unique different type of populations that we work with overall. But with that, working with them is being able to provide those health services needed. And so
I want to ask you, as far as you mentioned a little bit earlier about sometimes you refer individuals or people to certain community resources. Mm-hmm. Do we have enough in the quote-unquote resources in our community in Mojave County? Are there certain areas that are lacking and you say, wow, what we really need here is something in particular?
Yeah, and that's part of the assessment. And that gets into the clinical side and our hospital side, but medical professionals. In Bullhead City, I do not believe there's an OBGYN anymore in Bullhead City. So anybody, you know, if we deal with teen pregnancy, they don't have anywhere to go for education, or they have to travel outside of Bullhead City to go and get services for any type of pregnancy. We do have shortages in certain specialists. I think many people, a lot of people in our regional centers, they do their best. They respond well to our emergencies, and they have very competent doctors in there, but they are a little bit burnt out at times, you know, trying to meet the needs. Mm-hmm. And what we do see is a lot of people will use our emergency rooms or emergency departments for preventative care. They get the flu and they go to the emergency room. So we would like to try to help curve that, because that's the thing too. That just translates to increased cost. When you're struggling in one area, if somebody is using emergency department for their primary care, health care, that just drives costs up, you know, and that affects your economy, and it eventually trickles down from one point to the other. Do we have shortages? We do. I know. So those areas we try to address as best we can and meet those needs. And that's what a community health assessment's for, is really to get up there and see, okay, where are we truly lacking? How can we improve? And what services are we missing? So
some of those things you mentioned just now are, here we are, brand new year, January 2024, and legislators at work on various bills, et cetera, et cetera. Anything we should talk about in relationship to that over these 5 minutes?
Yeah, you know, it starts up so last year, and it's going to continue forward. You know, I think a lot of people read, they called it a tamale law, and it's so much more than that. And that deals in with our environmental health, but it also goes into economy. It goes into immigration. There's a lot of different points there, but it is being able to sell. It goes into the food home cottage industry, making food at your house and selling it. Traditionally, I think that's all. I'm financially challenged. What can I do? We used to teach piano on the side, you know, and different things. And right now, it seems a food. A lot of our recent immigration from Mexico, there, what they fall back on is to make food, you know, street food, from tamales to pozole, delicious food. Yeah. And people know, like, sometimes the tamales you buy out of the back of a trunk sometimes seem like they're just delicious. But are we following the correct procedure so we don't have any type of foodborne illness that's been that? So it's really just not about tamales. It's about food cottage industry. And it's a lot more, it's somehow Tamale got tacked onto it. It's not, it goes a lot broader than that. But that is, there's been revisions to it, but that's going to be brought most likely towards the legislation again. And there's a few minor points, but we're just watching, so.
One other thing I'd like to bring up that we can talk about only to a certain extent for obvious reasons. We have a deficit in the county,
yeah.
$18 million plus, which is just seems astronomical, seems
yeah.
like so much. Do you think that enough is going to be done over this year to try to combat that? And how will it affect your health department?
My department and other departments see, you know, is are we operating lean as we can? And so we've gone through again where we can pull out, where we can't. Again, you know, we have the luxury of where our departments is funded more so through grants. But it will affect it. You know, it eventually leans to burnout. You know, so like in vital records, for example, I have one staff member. And that's the person who does the birth certificates and the death certificates and all the, you know, provides those services to here in our community, to our funeral homes. She has to take PTO. So, or what happens when she gets sick? And then anytime that she leaves, then it takes three other people from their jobs to go and manage that position, or if she goes out on for a vacation at all, which she has a right to. She earned that. It complicates. So we wear a lot of different hats. That's high production, and eventually high production, you get to have burnout. So it's something that we always have to try to fiscally manage correctly, but we also have to look at our human capital. Are we doing the right thing by those people that provide services to our community at large?
So to sum it up, overall, it's going to be kind of a difficult year, but one that you feel you're going to get through okay, and we'll get this worked out.
Yeah, we have to. Where we have to sit here and preserve it is just... We work with the cards that you're dealt and work towards solutions. And there's always hope for the future, I think. You know, can we seek out other funding and other grants and possibilities and overall trust in our system and of government and our support for that? So,
one last thing. As far as grants are concerned, are all of them the ones you have to go and seek out, or do some kind of drop into your lap out of nowhere every now and then?
No, we have to go and seek them. It's become its own industry. It's called grant writing.
You know,
and most will hire a grant writer because you really have to go after those ones, and you know, and there's a unique way of getting it. But no, you have to go and find it. The only thing that's ever dropped in our lap right now is the opioid monies, and it's not even our money. We're just the middleman to getting it out to the community. The only other thing that kind of drops in our lap is just when the supervisors decide this is what needs to be focused on, and we need to have this. And are they willing to fund it? And that's their decision. That's the elected official's decision to do that when they do that. An example would be senior centers. They've always supported senior centers.
To Your Health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.